Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, December the 30th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour. The last day this year, I will be saying 2022. It is about the new year. Our first hour this morning is going to be a great hour because if you live in Marion, Ohio, there is really only one person you want to talk to as we usher out 2022 and bring in 2023. Because there is no doubt that the most famous person ever to come from Marion, Ohio, this radio station is named for him, as well as the high school in town. There's a hotel in town named for him, among many other things. President Warren G. Harding. And certainly on this station, we've had a lot of conversation as of late in regard to Warren G. Harding, as there is a $5,000 reward from one of our anonymous listeners for the return of Laddie Boy's dog collar, President Harding's dog's dog collar. So, to get his opinion on the dog collar and just to see what he's been up to, it's such a pleasure, as it is every time we welcome him to these microphones, the grandson, and that is exactly who he is, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Jim, Happy New Year!
Same to you. How you doing?
Doing well. Here we are getting ready to go into 2023. Do you have any big New Year's plans for 2023? Anything you want to get done in 2023?
Yeah, there's a few things I'm working on towards my family and connecting with the Hardings.
You know, Jim, before we get into the dog collar, which I want to talk about here, people always ask me, how's Jim doing? They like to hear from you. You're President Harding's grandson. How have things been since we talked last?
Fine. Everything's good. We're just moving along. It's been kind of a weird year, huh?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, to say the least, we all have those. Now, Jim, I wanted to have you on because we have this $5,000 reward. It was originally a $1,000 reward put up by one of our listeners. Now, they want to remain anonymous. Then they upped it to $5,000 about 4 months ago for the return of Laddie Boy's dog collar, President Harding's dog's gold dog collar. You just heard of this story recently when I spoke with you. What do you make of the whole situation?
I find it really odd. I find it odd that someone would break into the house and take it. It's hard to fathom. It just, you got to wonder about who would want it. Why would they would want it?
You know, it was a popular item for the kids. You know, the kids like dogs and they like to see dog collar. And this was done 10 years ago this year, 2012. It was done in the middle of the night with a ladder on the side of the house, broke the window. 10 years, no leads, nothing. Don't you find that a little peculiar?
Yeah, I find it very odd. It's odd that they would take that. What a strange thing to take. The only thing I can think of is possibly they had a dog and named it the same thing, but that still doesn't make sense. It belongs in the house.
Well, and Jim, you know, I was talking the other day with somebody, and I've said this on the air before. This is an item. People talk. Let's put it that way. People gossip all the time. And for 10 years, this has been gone, and nobody talks about it. You never hear any leads about who might have it, or maybe this person knows who has it. Nothing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 10 years nobody's brought this up?
No, it's odd, and especially when there's money involved. I mean, I'm surprised nobody's talking if there's $5,000 waiting for them.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. That came up last year. A $1,000 reward was placed on its return. And again, it would be returned to the radio station. We would give it back to the Harding home. So you would not have to deal with police or sheriff or anybody. Matter of fact, I think the statute of limitations has run out on that crime. But then it was up to $5,000 back in September, I believe. What do you make of the dollar amount being offered by a person whose only thing in this, they want it returned for educational purposes, and they are willing, and they want to remain anonymous. $5,000.
Right. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think it's great that somebody stepped up like that and did that. It's got to be someone that has a lot of interest in Harding and the story, and it's got to be somebody that's really loyal.
What would you say, because for all we know, the person who has the dog collar could be listening to this, or maybe somebody who knows the person who has the dog collar could be listening, from President Harding's grandson, what would you say to that person who's in possession of this thing?
It's time to bring it back. But then again, if you think about it, it could be someone that went there, visited the house, saw it. They could have been on vacation. They could live somewhere, you know, far away and whatever, and went home, took it with them. They just had to have it. I don't understand that, but they just had to have it. I have a hard time with anybody taking somebody else's stuff anyway, but it just doesn't make any sense. But and then they could be gone. Is it even possible that they don't even know that there's a reward for it or anything? Or,
well, you know,
if there's someone living far away, they would have no idea probably because it's more local, right?
Well, I'll tell you, honestly, the first story when the $1,000 reward came out, that was a national story. The Associated Press picked that up, and that ran across the country. So it's possible that they might not know, but it would be hard, I mean, because it went into all 50 states at that point.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't. It makes no sense at all unless something happened to them or that they're, you know, not here anymore or whatever. It doesn't make any sense unless they just feeling that they don't want to do it, and there's got to be some tie to it that they wouldn't turn the thing in.
Well, and I was talking the other day with somebody again that, you know, you can never tell anybody you have this because then they probably would call the sheriff, and it's not worth $5,000. We've all seen it. I mean, it is gold-plated, but it's not worth $5,000. So at this point, if you could collect $5,000, why not do it and give the home back an artifact that they certainly want?
Right. And, you know, it's... The dog was really popular. I mean, he was well known, and it's just bizarre. He's part of the whole story.
What do you think? You know, being a blood relative of President Warren G. Harding, and there aren't too many of those around in the direct line, grandson. What do you make of the idea that somebody has taken this and kept it for a decade now?
I find it odd. It's just. I don't know. I've thought about it, and I wonder why they would want it in the first place. Unless they, a big fan, somebody that, and then people do stuff without even thinking, though. You know, they don't think about the other side of it, and they may have wanted, and they do talk about it, though, because this is, you know, people that do stuff like this, among them, their little group, they talk, and they know what's going on, but they cover for each other and whatever, so... I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not like it was something that was really, you know, valuable, some sort of a document or something that really held some value, but it's the dog.
Do you think this could have been a prank and then all this attention got focused on it and then the person got scared?
Yeah, it got out of hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it could have been somebody younger and not really thought it through and thought nothing of it, and you know, like I said, and it could be somebody that took it because they had a dog and they named it that, and they thought it'd be kind of cool to have that on, you know, on their dog or whatever, and then all of a sudden they realize, well, I can't really be running my dog around. Somebody's liable to know about this, and I don't know. It just is odd. Unless somebody wanted it just to put it up there and have it, you know, and say, I've got that, you know.
You know, it's also interesting because the conversation has come up. You know, they did steal it. They did break in and take it. I do believe the statute of limitations has run out in 10 years on a crime like this. But a lot of people want to see this person charged with something. But other people just want it, if they bring it back and they get a reward, why not do it that way? Would you at this point want to see the person charged, or would you just want to see it returned?
Well, I don't know. It's hard. I would really rather see it returned. I think that at this point, you know, it's been 10 years. It's let it go or whatever, and just bring it back. It completes the stuff at the house. It's part of his memory. It's part of his love, and it was a great dog, and like I said, it was famous.
Absolutely.
It puts the whole package together and just let it go at this point. I mean, this much time's gone, you know.
Let it ride, get it back. When we sit here and talk about this person who came to me, and I believe I am the only person who knows who put this money up, but they said, the only way I'll give you the money for the reward is if you never tell anybody who I am, because I just want to do this not for publicity. I want to do it for, basically to see this return to the home so the kids could see it. What do you make of somebody putting up $5,000 under those circumstances?
I think it's great. I thank her. I think it's wonderful. It's somebody that's looking to do the right thing, understands what the right thing is, and understands that needs to be where it should be to be viewed and seen by everybody. You know, anybody that goes there would love to see it. People that have heard about the dog and know about the history and everything else, that's what they're going for. That's why you go there, is to look at all the things that are tied to that life.
Absolutely.
So, and I think it's great. I thank her 100%, or him, or whoever it is.
Absolutely. Now, in the final analysis of the dog collar, because there's a few other things I'd like to talk to you about just going on in the year, but because people will hear this from President Harding's grandson, his closest living relative, what would you say about this whole thing to the audience here in Marion, and again, to the person who may have this, who could collect $5,000 right now?
I'd say do the right thing. Bring it back. You know, you've had it long enough. You've enjoyed it for 10 years. Bring it back and let everybody else enjoy it.
What would you make, what do you think your grandfather would make of this if they were to return it?
I don't know. He might just kind of laugh about it. I don't know. It would hurt, but I'm sure he would just want it back and tell him just do the right thing and bring it home. Well, that's what it is. It's bringing it home. You're taking it home, putting it where it belongs.
Absolutely, and we hope it comes back home. Jim, the main question I always get asked when people bring you up, they say, when is Jim going to come to Marion, Ohio, be on the radio with you, visit the home, visit the memorial? Do you have any time frame on that?
Yeah, I'm hoping to do it in the new year. I've been planning on doing it for a while, but things kind of changed, and I tried to do a few things where I thought I'd be there. I thought I would be there for the opening of all the stuff, and that got kind of squashed. So I'm working towards it. That's what I really want to do. I would love to come there, and I would love to walk in on you and surprise you.
Well,
you're on the air.
I'd love for you to do. You know, Jim, I was just thinking this morning, 2023 will be the 100th anniversary of your grandfather's death.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as we head into that year,
maybe that's a sign.
Well, it could, I'm just thinking about that this morning. What does the year we're about to go into, 2023, the 100th anniversary of your grandfather's death, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means it's going to be a good year. It's going to be, I'm hoping everything's going to be fine. I'm hoping things will be different, and I hope I can get some stuff accomplished with it.
You know, being a grandson, a direct descendant of a president. There's a couple things I wanted to ask you about. Certainly in the country right now, our president, current president, is President Biden, and a lot of people are interested in the inflation and gas prices, although the gas prices have come down a little bit over the holiday season. What do you make of the job, certainly being the descendant of a president, of our current president, Biden?
I can't really answer that. If I get started, I won't be able to stop.
I can understand.
No, you don't understand completely. I won't be able to stop.
Well, do you have just maybe a sentence on how you think he's done so far?
My God. That's about it right there.
Well, that works. Now, the other president I wanted to ask you about was former President Trump. You came on back in 2016 with me and said that you thought your choice would be President Trump. What do you make of what's been going on with him running again for president? The trouble that he's been in with January 6th and all that. What do you make of President Trump running again?
I'd be for it completely.
So you would support President Trump again in 2024?
Right.
What is it about him?
He's open, he's there, he talks truth. He cares, everything. I mean, I know a lot, so it's way more involved than anyone thinks. And it's just one of those things you just got to keep watching.
You know, one of the interesting things is that I know you've done a lot of research on your grandfather since this all happened. Talk a little bit about the man Warren G. Harding. What kind of man do you think he was, and what does it mean to you to be his grandson publicly?
It's great, I think. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of it. He was a great man, and he did a lot of good stuff and had a lot of good ideas and solved a lot of things, came up with great ideas. He tried to help a lot of people. He did worked hard towards bringing the blacks into everything, making them a part of life. He accomplished a lot of stuff that he doesn't get credit for. And there's so many things now that are coming out about what he had accomplished and done, and it's all very interesting, you know. And knowing my grandmother and being as close as I was with her, I've learned so much from her through her life. I was real close with her, and she was always telling me something that he did or something that she loved about him you know, what he was trying to do, you know. And if you think about it, you know, someone that has an affair with someone, you know, you talk about a lot of stuff. And you open up. And, you know, they spent a lot of time together, and she knew him really well. And there's just a lot of stuff about him. I'm very proud to be his grandson.
You know, being that your grandmother did know him firsthand and obviously knew him very well, had a child with him, how did she speak about him during her lifetime?
Oh, cripes. I think I've told you this before, but when she would talk about him, she would get, the biggest smile on her face, and she would kind of like smack her lips. And it's funny because she did that one with her grandkids. She would do that when she talked about, you know, any of us. She would always get, when she'd see us, she'd get that big smile and like smack, she would get so excited. And that's the way she talked about him. She had never had a bad thing to say about him. And she talked about how he cared so much about the people and wanting to do things for them. And she was just, she loved him. And she loved him till the day she died. He was her love for her life. And she talked about him and how they had talked about getting together and how it would end up and what they would do. And you know, she, like I told you, she had talked about a lot of things about him and worrying about his wife and how she, you know, if she found out what would happen, and he was concerned about himself and a bunch of different stuff. She's always talked about everything, and she was a great woman. She did accomplished a lot of stuff for her time. She was way ahead of her time. She was way ahead of her time for women's lib, everything. She was the forefront of that. She really did a lot, and I understand why she. And I have I have kind of a weird situation with that, and I understand everything that went on with them, everything. And I'm him. I when I read about him, I realize I'm just like him. It's bizarre. Even when I was looking into the dog, you know, he's such an animal lover, and that's the way I am. That's why I post his things about animals. I just love animals. And I'm like him. I don't hunt, and I just love all animals. It's weird, and I have so many things that are like him. It's just kind of weird to me that this is it, and I understand it all because I've kind of lived their life, and it was very interesting, and it's things that I want to tell people about because things happen in their own. Everybody has something happen in their life that they don't understand and why it's there. But it's there to teach you and show you things, and that's what happened to me, and that's got me where I was now. I completely understand their relationship and everything about it, and so I have a totally different insight to it. It's odd, and I look at the stuff, and I pick something up and read it for the 12th time, and I find something completely different in it, and I see something new. That reminds me of myself and what I've been through, and why I went through it was to wake me up to all of this and show me what their life was like and how they felt. So it's been a crazy ride, but it's been great. And it was nice to do the thing when I back in 15 when we broke the story on the DNA. That was one of the greatest things in my life doing that.
You know, Jim, that's an interesting story, and I think, I don't know if we've ever gotten into this on the air, because your mother had already passed away, who was President Harding's daughter, and your grandmother had already passed away, who was the mother of his child. Why, and maybe this is definitive, why did it have to happen after her death, this DNA test that went down?
Okay, so my mom, well, growing up, we had our childhood was very different. I mean, I had a great life growing up. Incredible parents. My dad was the greatest guy. And he was a lot like Harding. So it almost ties into that, you know, the father thing, you know, when you date someone younger or whatever, you know, it's just kind of weird because my dad was just fair and honest and a straight guy and loved everybody. Loved everybody, and that's how Harding was, and I'm the same way. I talk to everybody, and that's Harding. And my dad was the same way. I remember growing up, I'd go downtown L.A. with him to one of the buildings, and we'd walk through L.A., and he'd talk to everybody. And, you know, when you're a kid, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and your dad's talking to everybody, you're thinking he knows them all, and I keep asking him, you know him? You know him? No, I just saw him and talked to him, and it was just bizarre. He was that way, but growing up, we constantly got phone calls late at night, threatening phone calls and stuff. And so my life was revolved around my mom having such a fear of something happening to my brothers and I. And so this is what we grew up with, and we have very limited pictures of my mom. For ourselves, you know, we have family pictures. My mom was not in them. When we did pictures at parties, birthdays and things, she would kind of go in the other room. And she, because she grew up hiding from the camera people, they were following them all the time. When she was growing up, when my mom was growing up, I don't know how many, but there was quite a few break-ins into their home. And there'd be little things missing, like Harding stuff that he had given her or something. Florence had hired, I can't think of his name right now, cripes, but she had hired a private detective to follow my mom and to look into all this stuff and everything. But she grew up with the same thing, breaking in. They moved a lot and bounced around, and then my mom ended up, my grandmother had my mom adopted by her sister in the beginning to keep her safe and to keep her out of harm's way while this was all going on. And that was traumatic too. And my mom didn't really know what was going on because she was so young when it happened. And she never knew who her real mom was, but she was there all the time with her. And they finally, I can't remember what date it was, but she finally told her, and they had taken it back because she had legally, I have the adoption papers, she illegally adopted her. And then they transferred it back. And I have all the correspondence of my grandmother's to everybody. And it's very interesting. I love to go read this stuff all the time. And the letters back then, it's really interesting to read the letters from my mom to my grandmother. When she lived in Chicago, my grandmother lived in Chicago, and we lived in California, and they would write back. And then I have all the letters from when my parents left Chicago to move to California. I have all the letters they wrote, and what they did was they left Chicago, and they just came towards California. And they worked their way here, or to California, and they wrote letters to her to tell her everything they'd seen and what they thought of the place, and they almost stopped in Arizona and stayed there. But then they wrote it, then they decided, they wrote her and said, we've decided we'll go farther, and they came to California, and that's where we ended up staying. And they wrote and talked about how nice it was and the weather, because my dad could not handle the weather in Chicago. He had a hard time with it. And so that's what they ended up doing. But I have all this correspondence, and it's very interesting how they wrote to each other and how they talked. It was completely different. You know, everybody talks so nice to each other. I have all these letters that my grandmother has from people back then that helped her when they cut her off from help, you know, when the Hardings cut her off and wouldn't give her any help. She had a lot of people that stepped up and helped and comforted her and stuff like that, big corporations even and everything. And it's very interesting to read this stuff.
Did your mother ever speak, I know not with the public, but did she ever speak or say anything about her father, who she obviously knew was President Harding?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was talking about it, but she never got too deep into it. And I got a lot of stuff from my grandmother. She talked about it all the time. As a matter of fact, the whole thing was, my mom would tell you that she used to get mad at her mom because she said that they could not. And this will tell you how she was, my grandmother, how she felt about him. And she would talk about how they couldn't get on a bus or anything and go anywhere before, right after they got on, within no time, people would know who she was. And she would talk about Harding, and people would put it together. But she talked about him constantly. That's all she did when she was growing up, is talked about him. And she praised him and everything. So that was one of my mom's big beef, was, you know, telling people who she was. And she was proud of it. And who wouldn't be? But this was a thing, and this is why growing up, my mom never talked to the press or anything. You know, I think I told you the story of when I came home. It was in '64, I think, and I came home from school, and there was people just flooded the front yard, reporters, cameras, everything, and I didn't have any idea what was going on. I was kind of panicked, and I came home with my friends, and of course, you know, at that age, you're thinking, oh, this is kind of cool, but it's weird. And I just remember that they were coming up to me and offering me money for a picture of my mom. And at that age, you don't really understand what's really going on, you know. But and we used to get phone calls, and my mom would answer the phone, and she'd start crying and hand it to my dad, and my dad would get on the phone and say, stop calling here and stop doing this. And they were threatening. So this is why she was so away from this and didn't want to attach to this, because she was worried about us and something happening. So, and I remember when I'd go out on the weekends, I'd come home at 2 o'clock or something, and my mom would be sitting sitting in the chair just waiting for me to come home because she couldn't sleep. And same with my brothers. And so it was hard for her, and she wanted to just let it go and not have to deal with it and have, you know, some peace. So, because her life was traumatic growing up in a way. I mean, she had a great life, excellent life, but basic life, but the background stuff was haunting all the time for them, because they're always wondering, you know, what's going to go on, when we go home, what'll happen, and, you know, who's following them and stuff like that, you know. It was, and you can imagine being a young girl, you know, it's kind of scary.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking, Jim, we're about to enter this 100th anniversary of your grandfather's death. He died in 1923 rather unexpectedly. If he had lived, he had been a newspaper man, he had been a senator, obviously he had been president. If he had lived, what do you think he would have done after his presidency?
I don't know. Who knows? He may have gone for another one. he was well-loved, and... you know, if you really open your mind and think about the things that they brought out against him, most of that stuff wasn't even legit. And you know what? It's funny because I look at all this stuff happening now and what had happened before and all this stuff, and I realize that if you look at this, it kind of mirrors his life. It just kind of mirrors how they went after him and did all this to him. But even a lot of the people that the history people now are talking about, who knows, it could have changed the whole country. I mean, what he was doing. He had, like I said, he had all this stuff for, you know, he was trying to pass an anti-lynching bill, a voting bill for the blacks, bring them into the community. And he had done so much stuff, and he was headed in the right direction. And it could have been completely... A lot of people that I've read have said that it could have been completely a great... he could have reached the top and definitely would have ended up better than most. So, and he did a good job. He did. People loved him. Most loved presidents. I mean, cripes, they lined the streets for miles when he left.
You know, it's interesting, Jim. We sit here about to go into the 100th anniversary year of his death, and the Harding Memorial is less than 2 miles from where the radio station is here. When you come to Marion and actually go to the place where he is interred, buried, what kind of experience do you think that'll be for you?
I think it'll be great. That's something I really want to do. I want to see and touch everything. That's my grandfather, and I'm so much like him. He's a part. I know he's a part of me. I know I'm him, and it's very interesting. And I know it sounds kind of weird, but that's how it is. I feel that I know the story. I know everything. I know how he really felt. I know how he wanted to do certain things. I know that most of the stuff that was talked about him to try to make him look bad were lies. That none of that stuff really. He wasn't tied to any of that stuff that went on, and that's been proven. And, you know, and his wife, you know, is one of the ones that pushed him into bringing a lot of those people on. So there's just so much to it. It's very interesting. But I look so forward to coming there. I look forward to going to the house and everything. And that's my goal. My goal is to get my mom in the house where she belongs. That is his daughter, and she needs to be in there, and he wants her there. I can tell you, he's mad. I mean, if you think about this, his family has held her out and pushed their arms out to keep her away since the day he died, and it's a disgrace. It's a total disgrace.
You know, Jim, without, you know, talking about anything that'll happen in the future, what would you like, when you say you'd like her to be a part of the house, what would you like to see happen?
Well, she needs to be in there. She needs her own bedroom to look like, well, here, this is how I look at this. This is his daughter, and anyone that's listening or anyone that hears about this, if you're a father and have a daughter, you'll understand completely what I'm talking about. There's no bond like a daughter and father. And It's just, and you know what? He wanted kids, and he, this was what he wanted, and he had a daughter. I mean, no one is getting this. He had a daughter, and how dare them keep his daughter away from him, and that's exactly what they're doing, and it's wrong. It's just completely wrong, and if, like I said, if you have a daughter, you'll understand what I'm talking about. He wants to show her off. He wants to show the world who she is and what she is. She was an exceptional mother. She's smart as a whip. I mean, she was very intelligent and articulate, everything. And she married an incredible man and raised three great kids. And she'd got grandkids, and she's just, she was just wonderful. And just, I mean, when she was younger, there's all this stuff. See, this is what I get at, is there's so much about her to learn. And when you meet and learn about her, you're learning about him, Harding. You're learning that this is his daughter. It's his DNA. This is him. And it's so wrong that they do this. And it's like the Hardings. Oh, yeah, we accepted it. I've never heard word one from them. After all we've been through, not word one. And I just, I don't get it at all. And I think that she needs to be in there. I want her to have a bedroom where, like I was telling you, I can put stuff up. I've got all these letters. I've got all this stuff. I've got things from, she won a, actually, I have a piece of Martha Washington's wedding dress. And it's not actually her dress, but it's one of a second you wear after the wedding or something. And the only other piece of it is in Mount Vernon, I guess. And there's a second half to the piece. And it was given to my grandmother to give to my mother. And she wrote an essay in school for a contest and won the contest, and it's about Washington and his life. And so this person wrote to them and said, I'd like you to have this, and it's got a letter attached to it that tells the whole story of the dress. It tells you everything, who it went from, everything. It's just unbelievable. And some stuff like that should be known. You know, the letters should be out there, they can see, or whatever, or just all this stuff, all her schoolwork. I would like to set the room up like that's where she lived, and he wants his daughter in with him. He wants his daughter in his house, and he wants the people to see, this is my daughter. I had a daughter, and it changes him as a person. It makes you look at him differently. He was a father. Not that he spent any time with her, but it was that she was there, and she's grown up. She'd grown up and had a life, and tell about her life. But it could be in stages, but it would be nice for people to go there and see what his daughter looked like, who she was, and look at pictures of her growing up, and it could have her schoolwork and a desk in there. It looks like, you know, like she's doing work, you know, that's where she did her homework and did stuff like that, and pictures of her life growing up and everything, so that people can go there and see his daughter, and that she was a part of that. In reality, you can slice it, dice it any way you want. That's her house. Because had things gone differently for her, she would have got the house. I mean, it would have all wound together, everything. And it's just, I want it to be in there. I would like a two statues outside of them. You know, either sitting on the porch, maybe him sitting on the railing and her standing next to him while they're looking out. So when people drive by there every day, they can see him with his daughter. And that changes him. It changes who he was, and it changes it and gives him what he would like to see. He would love to see that. Any father would. I'm proud of my daughter, and I talk about her to people all the time. I would always want people to know that she was my daughter and how proud I was of her, and that's what he would want. So you could do that, and maybe something inside, you know, maybe her in her room, you know, sitting on the bed or doing something to show that you could go there and actually see what she looked like and put him next to her and have them sitting on the porch or something. So when people drive by to go to work or they're going somewhere, they're thinking, boy, I'd love to go in and see, learn about her. And she's there. You see him with his daughter every day driving by. I think that would be great. I don't understand why it isn't like that.
Well, Jim, why do you think there is such a resistance to putting her in the home in some way?
I don't know. I haven't been able to figure it out because of the Hardings. You know, I mean, come on, it's what it's all about. It's them, and it's funny because they're not getting it. They're part of a Harding bunch. We're his family. We are his family, and they're so far from us, it's unbelievable. But there's a difference. We did not benefit. Their life completely benefited from it. And they've lived off of that, and they're still living off of it. And that's another thing. He's not happy about this. I mean, I'll tell you, I was watching a show the other day, and I watched it was on C-SPAN or something, and it was a bunch of people on there talking about Harding. It was all about Harding, and they talked about all the things that were on there. And one of the things that really caught my eye was Richard Harding was on there. And this really disturbed me. And so I'm watching it and learning stuff and picking up stuff. And so when Richard comes up to talk, he's talking about Harding, and he goes on. And then he starts talking about what a great man he was and how much he loved his nieces and nephews. And how he taught them how to ride a bike, taught them because his brother was sick all the time. And so he's telling the whole story about this and, you know, how great and how he loved his family and how that he would do anything for them and blah, blah, blah. So then he's telling everybody about how in his will he left. Well, what had happened before this is that his brother was really sick one time. They thought it was the end for him, and he went to see him. And during all of this, he's sitting there and he's telling the story about how Harding had leaned into his brother and he said, "Don't worry about your family. Don't worry about your kids. I will take care of them." And that's what you do for your family. This is what he wanted to soothe his brother. And so he told him, "I will take care of your kids and make sure everything is fine." So I'm watching along. And so then all of a sudden he starts talking about when Harding died, in his will, he left each one of his nieces and nephews $10,000. And back then, that was a buttload of money. And he left it to all three of them. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, wait a second. I said, I'd like to talk to Richard about this and ask him. He's telling, he loved him so much, and he did this for him. He did it for his brother and, you know, went out of his way, left him that money, and it took care of them. They went to college. They had a great life with the money and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a second. My question for Richard is, you're the grandnephew, and you talk about how wonderful this was of him to do this and to do this and take care of his family. Well, where was his family taking care of his daughter? I want to know, where was that? Where was the help when you knew that that was his daughter and you did absolutely nothing but push her away and deny her? And they all knew from day one that that was his daughter. Hmm. But you have to ask yourself, this is what tells you what kind of people, who and what you are. And they did this to her, and they're talking and about how wonderful it was that he took care of his brother's kids financially, and they have done nothing, absolutely nothing, for his daughter. And he's sitting up there shaking his head right now and just thinking, this is insane. And he did that for them, and they did nothing for them, and they have lived off of that name, his name, not their name. The Harding name is only what it is because of Warren G. Harding. That's it. And they've lived off that name. They've benefited off that name, everything. And they have done nothing for her and are still fighting me on all of it. How easy would it be to just say this? When I talk to the people at the Historical Society, and they were nice about it and everything, but you know, everybody knows this when you're talking to somebody and talk to them for 10 minutes and explain what you'd like to have. But after they've asked you 100 times, what do you want? Let's get together with this and let's get together with what you want and let's get it done. And then they would not listen to a word you said. They'd listen to you, but not hear a word you said. Mm. And kept telling me, oh, come look what we've done. Well, I don't care what you've done. This is what he wants. He wants his daughter in his house. It's as simple as that. He wants her to have the credit that she deserves and never got. And when we, when I tried to bring him up, my attorneys wrote the greatest thing for the courts. And in it, it discusses everything and about this, but they, one of the things they put in there is that it's time for the Blessing family to be a part of this and to get involved in his legacy. And they said the crime is that the Hardings have been in charge of his legacy and everything about him from the very beginning. And we've never had one word to say about it. And we are his family. We are his kids and grandkids. It's just, it's unbelievable.
You know, Jim, as we're running out of time here, but two questions I want to ask you here. As we do head into the centennial, the 100th anniversary of the passing of your grandfather, what message do you have for the city that he was from, Marion, Ohio? And what would you like to see done this year, the 100th anniversary of his passing?
I'd say I'm looking so forward to come there. I want to see Marion. I want to see where they lived, where my grandmother lived, everything. I want to see and touch all of it. And I have some friends. I actually met a guy working that came from Marion, and he had good things to say. He had good and bad to say about it. But and it, you know what it is that Marion is that's where he grew up. That's where he owned the newspaper. That's where he had his life and everything like that. And they should be proud of that, and I'm sure most people are, but it's something really big to have in your city, you know. And I think that they should kind of back this thing up and get this going and look at this, because this is what draws people to Marion and things like that, and they're famous. It's a famous town, and I study it, kind of look into it and things like that, and I'm really looking forward to going. But what I'd like to see is everything get done. I'd like to see things change and have it run a little different and focus on a little few different things and get that out there. I'm just telling you, I know for a fact this is important to him, and this is what he would like to see, and this is him, and it's time to do something for him. Not to do anything for the Hardings anymore. Do something for Warren G. Harding.
And this
is exactly what's happened. Warren G., he's sitting in the corner right now. They don't care about that. This is all about them being on TV, going to the thing, digging them with a shovel for the first load of dirt out of the thing. It's all about that for them. And this is what it's all about. It's all about them. Warren G's gone for them now. They don't care. This is just them and their time. And, I mean, it's terrible, but, you know, and I don't know if I'm going off on a rant here, but, you know, just think about it and put yourself in my grandmother and my mother's spot and how you would feel.
It's absolutely interesting, and maybe some of those things will happen this 100th anniversary year.
Yeah.
And kind of where we started here about the dog collar this morning, the $5,000 reward. Before we wrap up, Jim, again, what would you, if again that person happens to be listening or word gets to them as his grandson, what do you want them to do with this dog collar, $5,000 reward?
Please bring it back, and you know, it'd be nice if somebody brought it back and even denied the money, you know, and said, take the money, give it to the house or do something else with it, do something, donate it somewhere else, but bring it back, because this is where it belongs. This is his. It's just like we're talking about. This was his dog. He loved the dog. I mean, Krebs, the dog shook hands with everybody. You know, they actually back in the day when this all happened, you know, when he was in the White House, you know, I don't know if you know about this, but they did a thing and they raised pennies from everybody with the paper route because he was a paper man. And they raised, the kids sent in from all over the country. They sent pennies in. And they collected 19,134 pennies for the Laddie Boy sculpture. And it's interesting that people cared that much to do something like that, but that tells you about the dog and how much the kids loved it and everything.
Absolutely. Hopefully we see it return. Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I'm sure we will talk in the future, and I hope you have a happy new year, and we'll definitely talk in 2023.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we will. We'll be talking, and just keep watching.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. What a way to start off this day. The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker next, and then I'll be back at 10:15. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Now, a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.